We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for this message. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, maybe not just hear it, but Holy Spirit, let us have an experience with you today, a deeper, more meaningful relationship with you than what we started with even at the beginning of this service. Thank you, Lord, today people will find you as Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, today, Holy Spirit, people will experience you in a fresh and a meaningful way. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. You look good. You look very good. All right. So my goal today is to demystify the Holy Spirit and to introduce you to what I would say the real Holy Spirit. One of the things I don't want to do is dial down the incredible supernatural power of who the Holy Spirit is. And so when I talk about demystify the Holy Spirit, one of the things I find very repulsive is super spiritual Christians. Do you know what I mean by that? People who are so, lost in a super spirituality that it isn't real. So when I talk about demystify the Holy Spirit, it's like someone said to Sharon one day, how do you live with Steve? How do you live with such a man of God? You must get slain in the Spirit all the time in your house. I said, well, of course he does. The man of God walks in the front door, Sharon falls out under the power of God. Isn't that right, darling? No. The only time Sharon would ever fall out is if I actually cleaned up after myself. And she hasn't fallen out for a while, trust me. So, but I do want to talk to you about it. So I'm going to give you some basic thoughts here, and then I want to go a little deeper with you. Is that okay? And today, if you'll allow me, I want to just teach for a little bit. And I'm going to set up a platform for what I think is going to be pretty significant over these next couple of weeks and this next season in Wave Church. Are you ready for it? So the Holy Spirit, number one, who is he? And I'm using this language, who is he, because I'm using who the Bible describes him as. You with me here? And the Bible describes the Holy Spirit. Watch this. In Acts chapter 5, it says, now there was a certain man called Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. So you got to read Acts chapter 4 to read the context of that. Acts chapter 4, the context, there's a guy in the Bible, his name is Joseph. And Joseph had a piece of land, and he sold the piece of land, and he brought it to the apostles' feet. And he said, hey, I saw this need for the church to do something even greater, and I'm going to give it to you in what I absolutely know to be the context, than my tithe. This was a free will offering. This was not his tithe. This was something above his tithe. And he just brought it, I got this piece of land. I just thought the money would help further the cause of the kingdom. And because he did that, he got a new name. And it's called Barnabas. And that's all in Acts chapter 4. Check it out. Don't believe me? Read it for yourself. It's there. Go read it. Go to Barnes & Noble. Ask for any Bible. Read Acts chapter 4. It's in there. This is not Steve Kelly making this up. You with me here? All right. So now these guys see that Joseph gets a new name, gets some accolades, gets some attention, and they then sell a piece of land with his wife's full knowledge, but kept back part of the money for himself. But he brought the rest to the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you've lied to the Holy Spirit? Let me say Holy Spirit. Okay, and you've kept back for yourself some of the money you received for the land. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And even after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? So I want you to notice here that I'm going to just pull out some figures that I think are reasonable in the sense of the context. So let's just say a piece of land, he sells it for $120,000. Gave the majority of it, as what Scripture says, to the apostles' feet and said, hey, why did they do it? They saw what happened to Joseph and Barnabas, who got a new name. You with me here? And they said, however, they got 100,000, but they actually got 120. I'm just making numbers up that I think fit the story. You with me here? And so Peter, the Holy Spirit speaks to Peter and says, he's lying. He didn't get 100,000, he got 120. So Peter says, you're not lying to me. You're lying to who? The Holy Spirit. But notice Peter then went further and say, Wasn't it yours to do with whatever you wanted? Like, all you had to do was say, look, we got 120, but we needed 20, and we're going to give 100. And Peter said that would have been okay. But because you're faking your giving, because you're actually doing it with the wrong heart and the wrong motive and trying to look like, you know, you're doing something that is disingenuous, he goes, now you're lying to who? The Holy Spirit. And then it goes, and didn't it belong to you even after it was sold? What made you think to do such a thing? You've not lied to just human beings, but to who? Okay, so in other words, here in the book of Acts, the writer of Acts is Luke, and he's quoting what Peter said to Ananias. And Luke is saying, you've not lied to man, but to the Holy Spirit. And in the same sentence, he goes, you're lying not just to human beings, but to God. Peter and Luke, the writer of this, makes no distinction between the Holy Spirit and God. In other words, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. Jesus said, go baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you need to know that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Can somebody say amen? Secondly, he's a person. Listen to what Jesus said. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you. Come on, everybody online as well. I want to encourage you to take notes on this. This is good teaching. This is going to help you understand your relationship with the Holy Spirit. It says, he will not speak on his own. He will speak on what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And all belongs to the Father is mine. And that is why I said the Spirit will receive from me and he will make it known to you. In other words, the Holy Spirit is a person. He will not speak of himself. The Holy Spirit is not some mystical force. He's not some aura. He's not some cloud in a mountain somewhere. He's not somewhere you go geographically and there's the Holy Spirit. He is a person. And he will not speak of himself. He's not Star Wars.
Use the Force, Luke.
Are you hearing me? He's not some mystical way of just getting in the right yin and the yang. He's not Tao. He's not trying to balance good and evil. The Holy Spirit listens. He will not speak of himself, but he will make known to you and to me what the Father and the Son are talking about. He's a person. Number three, the Holy Spirit is in charge of present operations. Look at John 16, verse 7. But truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Watch. When he comes, he will prove to the world, to be wrong about sin. And boy, I'm telling you, we need the Holy Spirit more than we have ever needed the Holy Spirit. I mean, we're so confused about so many things nowadays. We call wrong right and right wrong. He will prove to the world about sin, righteousness, the judgment, about sin because people do not believe in me, about righteousness because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer, and about judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. You show me a church that is in touch with the Holy Spirit, and I'll show you a church that is moving in the things of God. You show me a church that is not open to the Holy Spirit, and I'll show you a church that's not directed by God himself. And the Holy Spirit is not into himself. Show me a church that is just all Holy Spirit. Everything's the Holy Spirit. Everything's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. He's only trying to tell us what God the Father and God the Son are talking about. He's not into himself. He's pointing to them. Amen? So it's wrong to just be, we're just all Holy Spirit, and it's also equally wrong to be, we're not the Holy Spirit. But show me a church who gets that right. Show me a Christian who knows the Holy Spirit, and I'll show you somebody who knows God's will for their life. Amen? Okay, number four, he's gentle. And I love this. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went out of the water, and at that very moment, heaven opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending on Jesus like that of a dove and landing on him. Isn't it interesting that of all the language of creation symbolism that God would illustrate to help you and I understand what the Holy Spirit's like, that he chose a dove? Now, a dove is actually this, by the way, I walked into the upper room one time, what they call is the upper room in Jerusalem, in Israel. And I walked in there with some friends of mine, and there were some Christians in there who were Australian Christians. That just happens to be Australians, and I can relate to them a little bit. And so I walked in, and this is a true story. A dove flew into the room, and they said, "Oh my God, it's a miracle. A dove." And they all started speaking in tongues and saying, "Come join us." And they go, "What a miracle." They're all going, "It's a miracle. A dove." There are doves everywhere in Israel. The likelihood of a bird flying into a room with no window is great. And they all got, and I went, "It's a dove. There are doves everywhere. Have you not looked around? There are doves everywhere." And they're having this holy revival. I love the innocence of their faith, but I did think to myself, could we please use their brain? Sorry if I'm too pragmatic for you. I wasn't like, this is revival. There's a dove. Windows open, there are doves outside. Window open, means there'll be a dove inside. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray in the Holy Spirit, but I don't need that to happen to make me feel like God is real. Sorry if that offends you. But anyway, what was I saying? The dove is an emblem of peace. A dove, if you like, imagine a dove. They're very, and I want to use this word respectfully because I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, timid. They're gentle. And of all the, God didn't say land it like an albatross or like an eagle. It's like a dove. It's something that's like the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. Don't be into me, be into the Father and the Son. Are you hearing me? So imagine if something and a tree falls down onto a branch below where there's a dove. Chances are the dove's going to fly away because it's delicate, it's vulnerable. But now, if it were an eagle, how many know the eagle is going to go, "What was that?" The eagle's, you know, like, game on. But the dove, not so. Isn't it interesting that God chose to introduce you and I to the similes of the Holy Spirit to be that like a dove? In other words, the Holy Spirit's not going to force himself upon you. He's not going to turn you into something you're not. When you get connected to the Holy Spirit, you don't become some raving, charismatic Christian unless there's already that nature of you being a strong, bold, outward person. He's only going to bring to you all that God has created you to be. He's not going to turn you into something you're not. I think that's worth giving God a praise break right there. I guess the best way to illustrate it is, I remember one time Sharon and I were back in Australia, and there was a ranch that had all these horses, because if you know Sharon, she loves horses. And so I remember one time I walked up against, I didn't realize, an electrified fence. Now, you got to know my personality. I'm a little bit out there. I'm a little bit sanguinish. I'm a little bit larger than life on the best of days. And Josh makes me look like small fries, by the way. And so when he gets excited about things, you know what I'm saying? And so I actually touched up against this electric fence, and it shocked the fool out of me. And I didn't expect it to happen. And I went, "Ah!" Because that's who I am. I came in touch with the source of power, and that power expressed my personality. Same fence, same source of power. Sharon brushes up against it, and Sharon goes, "Oh." Same power. Just goes to show, when the Holy Spirit, he's just going to express you. I think that's worth giving God a praise. I need to add that to my notes. I never thought of that. There you go. Okay, he's gentle. He is life in himself. I love this one. And the Spirit of God, it says, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who also raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies. The Holy Spirit has life in himself. When Jesus died, the Holy Spirit did not. See, Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." In other words, the Holy Spirit has life in himself. Somebody needs to catch that. Are you hearing me? And so I want you to think about it. He's God. He's a person. He's in charge of present operations. Anybody catching it? He's a dove. He's gentle, and he has life in himself. And let me tell you this one. He has creative life. Now, on the earth was formless and dark and empty, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. In other words, listen to this. And the Bible says that God created everything that he created out of nothing. There was emptiness, darkness, chaos. Can I tell you, if you sit there, if you're a songwriter and you're thinking all the good songs have already been written, can I tell you, God created everything that you and I live on today out of nothing. And that Spirit is hovering, waiting for you and I to get creative. If you are a songwriter, can I tell you, your song is in you and the Holy Spirit will work with you. If you feel like there's a business in you and you want to start a new business, if there's an invention, if there's a book, if there's something that's in your heart to do and you're thinking, oh, all the good ideas have already been thought of. No, my friend. The Holy Spirit is hovering, just waiting for you and for me to tap into his creativity. God created everything out of nothing. And now he gives you and I this wonderful relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's just waiting for you. He's just waiting for me to get creative. How could you ever say you're bored if you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you got the creator of the universe inside of you in Jesus' name? Amen. So what is he like? Well, he's like fire. Let me explain it to you. The Bible says that in Malachi, he's like a refiner's fire. Let me just help break that down just real quick. I've got to move fast through this. You see, in Malachi, it talks about the refining of gold. Of course, gold is a very solid, heavy substance. And pure gold, what gives gold its value is the amount of gold, the density of it. And what happens is to make pure gold pure, it has to be burnt. It has to be melted. And as you turn gold into what's called a liquid form, then gold, because it's so heavy and dense and because of its viscosity, anything that is lighter that is not real gold surfaces, because real gold is so heavy and dense that anything that's not gold, all the wood, all the dross, the scum, the imperfections, the dirt surfaces. Now, be honest with me now as a Christian. Everybody online, stay with me now. Watch this. How many of you, in the middle of a prayer, suddenly had a thought you can't believe you thought? Don't look at me so shocked. I got my hand up. How many, in the middle of a praise service, as you're singing, suddenly this thought comes running through your head? Oh, God, how could I think that? Am I the only one? Should I give you the microphone? Maybe I should be. You know what I'm talking about? Remember, the Apostle Paul said, the things I shouldn't do, I do. The things I should do, I don't do. Anybody relate to this? So we become so aware of, see, what the Holy Spirit wants to do, what we want to do is we want to conceal what's in us that is imperfect. But the Holy Spirit wants to reveal it. How does he reveal it? He's like a refiner's fire. He wants us to be pure gold. The only way we can be pure gold is to melt so that any imperfection, any sin, any dross comes to the surface. When it comes to the surface, we're shocked by what's in the surface, but it was always there all along. But an evidence that the Holy Spirit's at work in your life is when he brings those things to the surface so that you can remove those things, which is how and why we renew our minds. As a matter of fact, I want to tell you, if you are aware of things that are coming to the surface, it is proof to me that God is at work in your life and you need to thank God for it in Jesus' name. Amen. He's like a refiner's fire. It says the Holy Spirit came on the disciples in the day of Pentecost with cloven tongues like that of fire. He's like fire. Jesus, the Bible says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Can everybody see that? But he's not just like fire. Let me tell you, he's like water. And water, the Bible says in Joel 2:28, in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So there's an inferring of a pouring. Revelation 22, verse 1, it says there's a river that flows from the throne room of God, and it's the river of God, it's the word of God. And the Bible says in Isaiah 44, talks about this idea of the Holy Spirit being like water, and water is essential for the germination of seed. Just ask my wife. I planted all those vegetable gardens for her, put them all there, but she has not watered them once. She has said to me, the rain will do the job. And every one of them have died because they have not yet got the water they needed. Just thought I'd point that out to my wife in Jesus' name. Okay, listen to the thought. How many of you have ever read your Bible, which is the Logos, which is called the written word of God, and after having read the word of God, all of a sudden, those words jumped off the page and leapt into your heart? What happened? The Holy Spirit watered the word that you read, and now that which is Logos has become Rhema to you, and now you're illuminated to a truth that the truth was always there, but it wasn't until the Holy Spirit watered the seed of the word that the word brought growth and blessing and revelation and illumination. Can anybody begin to see how much the Holy Spirit is at work in your life on a day-to-day basis? He's like fire. He's like water. He's like wind. Wind suggests an unseen force of power that produces a visible result. In Ezekiel 37, the Bible says, you can tell I've been teaching this for 38 years, my friends. Listen, in Ezekiel 37, he said to Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? And he said, Lord, only you know. And he says, well, prophesy. It was a valley of dry bones. Them dry bones. And can these bones live? And then all of a sudden, there came a shaking, and Ezekiel spoke and he prophesied to the wind. And then all of a sudden there came together a rattling, and these bones began to come together, and then there were skeletons, and then there came flesh and sinew, and before you knew it stood an exceeding vast, great, strong army. And God said, I can make bones live. I can make dead things live. And it's because of the wind. Speak to the wind. When God made Adam, Adam was dead. He was there. He was formed as a human being. The brain was there. The lung was there. The kidney was there. The organs were there. Can you hear it? The heart was there, but there's yet no life in him until God breathed his breath into the nostrils of Adam. Adam was not yet alive, but when God breathed breath, the word breath and spirit are interchangeable in the Greek and the New Testament. Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like the wind. You can't see the wind, but you sure can see the effect the wind has on you and I in Jesus' name. He's like fire. He's like water. He's like the wind. He's like a dove. He's gentle. He is like oil. You ever tried, come on guys, someone say amen to this. You want to drive your car with no oil in it? See how far you'll go. You show me a church that has no anointing, no Holy Spirit in it, and I'll show you a church who will seize up. Show me a Christian who doesn't have the Bible says in 1 Samuel 10, it says that Samuel came and he anointed Saul to be the king of Israel, and he poured oil over him. That oil has no mystical power in and of itself. It's just a symbolic, tangible, visible means of an expression to realize that from that moment, the power of the Holy Spirit is active and present on a person's life. Amen. That's why the Bible says in James chapter 5, if anyone's sick, let him call for the elders of the church and anoint them with oil and pray the prayer of faith, and the Lord shall raise them up. 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, it says Samuel came and anointed David, and David became, the Spirit of God came upon David from that day forward. So who is this Holy Spirit? What is he like? Well, he's God. He's a person. He is in charge of present operations. He has life in and of himself. He is creative life. He's like fire. He's like wind. He's like oil. He's like water. Anybody catching this? He's gentle. And I said all that to give you the title of the message that I want to close with. And it's called Get In Under Your Head. We got to get in under our head. Come with me to Ezekiel. And I want to read to you just 9 verses. And I'm going to break it down just as I bring this to a close. Are you ready for this? Everybody say, get in under your head. Come on, online, you still with me there? Hey, hello, put down your coffee. Come on, stay with me. Ezekiel 47. Then the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw, and by the way, the man, it doesn't say who this man is. He's what I call the unnamed guide. Everybody see that? Then the man, he's the man, brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced the east. And the water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. And then he brought me out through the north gate, and he brought me to the outside of the outer gate facing the east. And the water was trickling. Can everybody say trickling? Come on, everybody. Let's get it online. Come on, somebody. Trickling. Trickling from the south side. And as the man went eastward, watch this, with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits. Well, how far is that? That's about 1/3 of a mile. And then he measured off another 1,000 cubits. And he led me to the water into, firstly, it was ankle deep. I missed that part. He measured off and led me through what was ankle deep. And then he measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me to the water that was knee deep. Everybody say ankle deep? Knee deep. And then he measured off another 1,000 and he led me through the water that was up to my waist. Everybody say waist. And he measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross. And because the water had risen and was deep enough so as to swim in, everybody say swim, a river that no one could cross, he asked me, son of man, do you see this? And then he led me back to the way of the bank of the river, led me back. He took him back to where it all started. Where did it all start? At the altar, at the temple that was trickling, that went to ankle deep, that went to knee deep, that went to waist deep, that went to swimming, that went to a point he couldn't even swim in the river, and he was brought back. Can everybody see this? And he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region. It goes down to Arab, which is the where that enters the Dead Sea. I wished I had time to talk about that. When it empties into the Dead Sea, the salty water will become fresh. This is prophetic, by the way. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows, and there will be large numbers of fish because the water flows there. And whatever it says, the salt makes water, it'll make the water fresh. And where the river flows, everything will live. So watch this now. Okay, I want you to catch it very carefully. It's very simple. This is not the river that's mentioned in Revelation 22 that flows from the throne room of heaven. This is the river that flows out of the temple. This is speaking about, it's prophetic about Jesus and prophetic about the coming of the Holy Spirit. I'll get to it. I'll show it to you. But that's what this is all about. And it's trying to prepare you and I to understand how God wants us to grow in our relationship with Him. But the source of them both is God, of the river that comes out of heaven and the river that comes out of the temple. And the Bible says Ezekiel went into and through the waters. This unnamed guide took him to the river, and it wasn't something just to look at or to think about. It was something, catch this now, watch this, for him to enter into. It wasn't just to sit back and look and go, huh, behold. It wasn't just something to look at and go, let's have a talk about that. This unnamed guide took him to the river and said to him, don't just look at it and don't just behold it and don't just talk about it, get in. And I believe that's what God's speaking to you and I today. We've got to get in over our head. And the Bible says they went from ankle, notice the progression. They went from ankle to knees, from knees to waist, waist to so deep they had to swim because they were in over their head. Ankle deep to me, I believe, and I'll break it down for you, talks about you and I when we're talking about what the Holy Spirit's doing. The coming of Christ and the giving of the Holy Spirit is about a walk, our walk with God. Ankle deep is, and notice it was trickling out of the temple and then it was ankle deep. This is our walk with God. This is our Christian walk. Can anybody say amen? But then it says you've got to go beyond what is just ankle deep and you've got to go to knee deep. I believe it's teaching about a relationship with Christ and the Holy Spirit, about our prayer life. That we learn how to let the Holy Spirit intercede through us. We get on our knees. I want to take you somewhere. I want to talk to Wave Church. Get in over your head. I want to talk to you about your walk with God. I want to talk to you about your prayer life. When we have prayer meetings, I think we should turn up. I actually think we ought to be people as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants after you, O God. And then it goes beyond that and it says to waist deep. Well, your waist is all to do with your loins. It's your loins is your reproductive system. Could it be that actually the Holy Spirit wants control of your sexual urges? Could it be that God wants you and I to let God's word to manage lordship over our desires? Could it be that actually God wants purity and that the Holy Spirit, who is like the refiner's fire, is interested in having lordship over your love life? Could it be? Could it possibly be that God wants us to go from not just waist deep, but he wants us to go into the river? Listen to this. By the way, I don't have time to talk about it, but if you read, I think it's Psalm 38, David actually got VD. He got a sexually transmitted disease because he had so many concubines, and he talks about that disease in Psalm 38. Maybe David had something to say about that. Hey, anybody hearing me? It's very quiet here all of a sudden. Can I just encourage us? Then go from there to swimming in the river. And I love this thought, because there's this thought of you're in over your head. In other words, you are now totally submersed to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And can I tell you something? We have a grandson, his name's Jackson. He was the first one to learn how to swim, and we were giving Jack swimming lessons. And Jack was very comfortable in the shallow end with the steps. Oh, he would run up and down the steps, and he loved running up and down the steps. But my goal is to get him at the deep end. You with me here? That's what grandparents do. They want to make sure their child, if they ever fell in a pool, could swim. Are you hearing me? If they fell in a river, they could swim. It's called survival. God's using the analogy of what the Holy Spirit's like to getting in over your head. And he wants you and I to learn how to swim. He wants us to come to a place of maturity. Are you hearing me? So when we got Jax, he suddenly figured out, hey, I can step on the step. And then he went deeper, and he went to his knees, and then he would go to his waist. But beyond his waist, he was very uncomfortable. So one of the things I used to do was put Jax in the deep end and said, Jax, the first thing you got to learn how to do is float. Floating is survival. Some of us, when we get in the deep end, we just got to learn how to float and just trust God. But once you get comfortable floating, you can begin to swim. Now you're going somewhere. Anybody catching this? I believe this is what I believe the Holy Spirit wants to do in Wave Church. Get in over your head. To learn to trust the Holy Spirit. If any person asks God for the Holy Spirit, he'll give you what you ask for. And if you say, God, I want to get in over my head. Can I tell you something? And I love this thought, and I don't have time to bring it all out this morning. But it says, then he brought me back. The river was so vast and so strong, he couldn't get to the other side. No one could get to the other side. But it says, he brought me back, and all of a sudden, look, behold, there was trees, massive, big, mature trees, the same bank he left from. They weren't there before in the length. God doesn't lace words. But now there's big trees, now there's fish, now there's all these things. Do you know what God does? When you get in over your head, it brings you to a place of maturity and growth. And that's the whole goal for you and I. So for these next couple of weeks here, I want to take some time for Wave Church to get in over our head. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? I'm praying for people who are not yet filled with the Holy Spirit to get filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm praying for marriages to be healed. I'm praying for businesses and for new things to be created. When was the last time you did something for the first time? If your marriage you feel like is just really hard and tough and sad and sorry, can I tell you something? God's not done yet in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I want to go there with us. You got no idea how I'm speaking to you, how I think thoughts while I'm speaking that have nothing to do with what I'm speaking about. It's like I'm flying blind, but now I'm not. Praise the Lord. Now I am again. Praise the Lord. Put it back to the other time. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're just playing around. We're experimenting with some things here to try and figure out how do we do a better job speaking to everybody that's watching us all over the place. How many love our media team and think we ought to show them some love? See, the Holy Spirit's always speaking. Someone said to me, Steve, could I pray for you to get the Holy Spirit, get filled with the Holy Spirit? I'll be honest with you, I wasn't even ready for it. I didn't even hear about it. I heard people talk funny, and I went, what's up with these people? They talk funny. And someone said, do you want it? And I went, yeah, well, if it's God, sure. I will only want everything God has for me. So all these well-meaning Christians are trying to do something. I wasn't ready. But then someone saw afterwards and sat me down and talked to me about it. And that night by myself, without the pressure of everybody else around me, I just started thanking God for the mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit, a heavenly prayer language. You want to talk about getting in over your head. Because the Bible says when we pray in the Spirit, we don't know what we're praying. Well, I'm a guy, I want to know what I'm thinking. I want to know what I'm doing. I like to have control. Does anybody like me? I like to have control. I don't like giving up control. Anybody else like me? That's why I don't like riding horses. I can't control them. They know they're in control. I remember one time I was racing a donkey up Santorini, up the cliffs in Greece, with my friend Paul Dion, and it was a race, and all of a sudden Paul's donkey was going to beat my donkey, and I couldn't lose. I don't like losing. Anybody here not like losing? I mean, I hate losing. So you know what I did? I put my hand over Paul's donkey's eyes. There's a cliff that the donkey could fall off, but better that happened than me come second. The good news is, I actually said on the way up, I hate this thing because I can't lead it. I don't know how to steer it. I don't know how to control it. And I had to let go of the control and say, God, I'm getting in over my head. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. If this is in your word and this gives me a heavenly prayer language that prays the perfect, pleasing will of God, then even if it doesn't make sense here, I will allow myself to be filled by you if you'll give it to me. And that night, I prayed in the Holy Spirit till 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And I got to tell you, I went to work the next day with 2 hours sleep, and I felt, man, the Bible says you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And I want Wave Church, I want everybody online, listen to me. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to get in over your head. If you haven't invited the Holy Spirit into your marriage, I want you to get in over your head. Single people, and you're wondering about your future partner, and will you trust God? Will you get in over your head and trust God for the right partner at the right time with the right person rather than get desperate, vulnerable, and just need anybody and anybody will do? I want you to get in. People who are struggling in your finances, I want you to get in over your head. Come on, somebody, I got to stop. I could start going and I'll... Come on, everybody say, I'm getting in. Come on, say, I'm getting in over my head. We're going to learn how to walk, how to pray, how to give lordship of all of our life, and how to swim in the rivers of God. Are you ready for it? Praise the Lord. I want to pray for people who've never given your life to Jesus. Look at me now online. There's already 4 people. There we go. Look, it's all there now. I want to pray for people who've never given their life to Jesus. Already 4 people, as I'm preaching, so compelled, so touched by, I believe, the Holy Spirit. The Bible says no man can come to the Father unless the Spirit of God draws them. Already the Spirit of God's been at work as we preach. 4 people have already clicked that button. I'm making a decision for Jesus. But I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray for you. If you don't yet know Jesus, I would encourage you, come on, get in over your head. I want to pray for you who maybe once prayed a prayer, but you know today, can I say it to you? You got out of the river. And I've come today to say, come on, get back in. Come on, church, would you not say amen? We would love to see people who maybe once made a decision for God and you walked away from God, but we'd love to see you. Wouldn't we, church? Make a decision to get back on course with God. Come on, I want to pray for you today. I'm believing people here today in this building and at Seaboard Road and all over the world, however and wherever you're watching, I'm believing today that people, by the power of the Holy Spirit, are going to encounter Jesus in a fresh and a real way. Can anyone say amen? Oh, come on, church. God is here. Listen to what the Bible says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hears my voice and opens their heart, I will come in. God's knocking on your heart right now. Listen to it. Shh. Can you hear it? Online, He's knocking on your heart right here in this auditorium. If you've never given your life to Jesus, you're not yet a Christian, you say, Steve, I want to get right with God. I want you in a moment when we close our eyes, when we pray, to just lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. And I'll know to just include you in that prayer. Maybe you once prayed a prayer, but you know today you're not living for God. I met somebody this week and I got talking with them and, you know, they started asking me who I am, what I did, and I started talking a little bit about it. Oh, she says, yeah, You're the pastor of Wave Church. I said, yeah, I am. I used to go there when I was a little girl. Oh man, I loved it. So where are you today? Oh, come on, get back. Come on, get back. But I got to tell you something. I tell it sparked something in her. I could tell it was more than just me meeting her and me being the pastor of a church that she remembered well. But I remember, I could tell God was at work in her heart. Who knows? She may be here today. I met a guy at a gym and he said to me, you're the preacher at Wave Church. I said, yeah, I am, because I watch you on TV all the time. Kind of like you. Don't agree with everything you say. I said, it's all good, neither do I. He says, I might come to your church. I said, I hope you do, man. You're welcome. He goes, you don't think the roof will fall in on me? I said, well, if it didn't fall on me, it sure won't fall in on you. He goes, well, I'm going to come. He came. I said, what do you think? He goes, it's a little too loud for me. I said, yeah, we specialize in noise. We like loud. What do you think? Kind of liked it. There's something there. It's something real. He goes, there's an aura. Well, what he didn't know, he was saying, was God was touching him. A couple of weeks later, I see him at the gym again. How you doing, man? I like that church. He goes, if you ever want to mention that I'm coming, feel free. Like, I don't know why he said it. So I said, hey, I've been meeting this guy called, I forget his name, I think it was Jim. Well, let's call him Jim because I do remember his name. Well, I didn't know that Jim had a really, really bad health condition due to some previous habits in his lifestyle that was literally killing him. And he had but weeks to live. And then I mentioned, hey, my friend Jim at the gym has been coming. He says he's going to be here this morning. Are you here? Jim puts his hand up. I said, well done, Jim. That morning, he gave his life to Jesus. A couple of weeks later, he went to be with Jesus. My friends, you never know. You never know. Could I pray for you? There are people online that need to make a decision right now. There are more than four. All you got to do is click that button and I pray for you all over this building. Can we close our eyes, bow our heads? I took a little extra time this morning because I feel God's doing something fresh and something new. Friend, if I'm talking to you and you say, Steve, I'm not a Christian. Steve, I'm away from God. I'm going to ask you to do one simple thing. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I am going to ask you to do one thing. If you say, Steve, pray for me. I want to get right with God. Steve, I want to give my life to Jesus without a hesitation. Would you do something for me? Would you lift your hand right now high enough? Well, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and say, Steve, pray for me. Steve, include me in that prayer. God bless you right there. God bless you right there. God bless you right there. Lift your hand. Give it nice and high. God bless you right there so I can see it. God bless you right there. Others here this morning, God bless you right there. I'm looking for you. God bless you right there. God bless you right there. Others, God bless you right there. God bless you right there. Others this morning, well, just lift your hand and say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to get right with God. You click that button right now. I'm making a decision. My last call. If you haven't lifted your hand, but you know you should, would you lift it right now? Come on, friend. God is knocking on the door of your heart. You hear Him knocking. God bless you. I see that hand, sir. Thank you. Is there anybody else who would lift your hands? God bless you. Right there. Church, can we give the Lord a thunderous hand of praise? God is at work. People are getting in over their head. Oh! I can't help myself. Let's pray this prayer. Can everybody pray the prayer? Can everybody pray the prayer? Okay, this is Wave Church, 1000 North Great Neck Road. You're allowed to talk back. Can everybody pray the prayer? There you are. Come on, say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life. To forgive me of my sins, I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I am now a Christian in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, we've clapped, but let's show our appreciation.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.